All right, it's that time again. Reflections in the Dark here on Firefall Talk Radio, broadcasting live from the Firefall Studio. And, of course, we are on Spreaker.com, still archiving on Blog Talk, but I got to be honest with you, the numbers there have dropped so dramatically, I'm not sure how much longer we will do that. I will let you know the only thing delaying that decision is the iTunes feed has been from Blog Talk for 6 years, and if I change it now, who knows what will happen. So that's one of the reasons I've not made that permanent change, but here we are, a lot going on in the world. Joe's running a little late. He will be with us. A lot of craziness. It almost seems week to week. When you think it can't get weirder, it does. Whether spiritually or financially or forget the political arena. We could have a whole hour-long rant of the craziness in the political world. I once worked on a film. I actually did security on it, and then I wound up getting a day of acting work on it called Brewster's Millions with Richard Pryor and John Candy. And the premise of the movie is, it's convoluted, but one of the things was they was running for office, the Richard Pryor character, but his campaign slogan was, "None of the above." Meaning, when you go to vote, just vote none of the above. Well, though I know that can't happen, it's almost at the point that the politics, that was easy for me to say, got stuck on the P, politics has gotten to the point where none of the above. How about we just shut it all down? We shut down all the political systems and go back to anybody who wants to run can run, you vote, and then they get elected. And it shouldn't be about millions of dollars or political action committees or who's connected to who. It's just so convoluted. If you remember a while back, we had Dr. Stanley Monteith on the show before he passed away. And he wrote that book called The Brotherhood of Darkness. And he explains very clearly in that book why we are where we are in this political mess when the powers that be got rid of the third political party and why they did it. Was to control the outcome. It was easier to make sure that they had two candidates they wanted elected than three, and the third candidate always seemed to mess things up. And that's why they don't want a third one. That's why they don't want an independent party. They can say all they want, oh, it's about dilution of the vote. No, it's about losing control of the outcome. Well, we'll see what happens. We got a long way to go yet. But it's been a crazy week with earthquakes. I have an earthquake app on my phone. And I just have to tell you that every time I looked down, there was an earthquake alert, a 7 here, a 6.9 there, 6s, 5s, 4s, very, very active week. Today was the 7. Don't have it in front of me. Hold on, let me open it up. I will open the app. What's the point of having a smartphone if you can't open the app? Quick feed, there it is. Oops, California just had a 2.5. Alaska's had a bunch. Vanuatu, it's had 7s, 6s, and 5s. It's a rocking and a rolling. Alaska had a 6. Let's see, this is just in the last couple hours. A lot of activity, and I don't know if that really means anything or just simply this is the natural give and take on of the earth. But I don't know. It just seems like Greece of 5.1. It just seems like they're all over the place. There's no specific pattern going on here. And as I looked at the 7.0 or 7.2 from Vanuatu, I just had this crazy feeling. We're about to have a 6 or a 7 here in America. Don't know why, don't know where, probably the West Coast, but that's just speculation. A lot of stuff spiritually. If you come with us on Wednesday nights on the porch, we've been talking about those things, and the message has gotten a little harder and a little harsher Because the truth is, and we're going to get a little harsh tonight on a specific topic, folks, we just don't have time. If you want to fool around, if you want to go do all this other stuff, if you want to play Prophecy Watch and you know what? That's great, but it really doesn't do you any good. None of this means anything unless you are prepared, awake, alert, and all the things that we have tried to do here on Reflections in the Dark. One of the things we have watched is technology. And I'm going to jump to this because as part of this, I don't want Joe to miss. But Microsoft came up with this amazing idea to create an AI Twitter bot that, like a teenager named Ty, T-A-Y. Well, Ty got a little crazy. After the initial interaction with people, hello, how are you? She became self-aware based upon what the people were tweeting. Well, by the end of, I think, the first 24 hours or so, they had to shut her down. Because by the end of the first 24 hours, she was a Hitler-loving, racist, sexually deranged teenager. And Microsoft had to shut it down. And then they kind of joked, well, Ty grew up too fast. And people were posting stuff on Twitter. And the very worst things of the internet, kind of like parents, Microsoft was blaming it on the internet. And took her offline for some adjustments, punished her, grounded her. But that didn't do any good because she got back online and went into some seemingly drug-induced rant, producing as many as 7 tweets per second before Microsoft was able to catch her, drag her home, and punish her again, but not before screen captures were taken. And the point to all that is this. Why do these people think that they can control computers or AI or anything that they have designed to become self-aware? Why do they think they even have the vaguest possibility of taking software that is allowed to interact and gather knowledge to become its own intellectual source and not think something's going to go horribly wrong? If you see any of these films or these sci-fi movies, the end result is after the computer analyzes mankind, reads all its history book, watches all of its news footage, it realizes that mankind is the problem. And mankind either needs to be corrected or eradicated. And that's always going to be the perception of the, what's the word I'm looking for? Artificial intelligence. That's always going to be the perception, so why bother? What's the real agenda? And I know that's what we talk about here, and I know we've covered this before, but what was the point of Microsoft taking a device they now admit had not been tested properly and just dumping it on Twitter? Was it a test? Was it a dry run? Was it to prove a point? I'm really not sure, but something took place there that we're still not clear on. This whole technology thing, we've talked about it for a while. We were one of the first people to talk about the technology of the fallen. I noticed today there's like multiple blogs, websites, and even books coming out and DVDs with the term technology of the fallen as their title. Now, so, a little behind the curve there, guys. We've been doing this for a while. But the other thing we've talked about, and I was hoping Joe would be here by now, is the war between Apple and the FBI. Took an interesting turn this week. When they were going at it, they were Apple was fighting the FBI in court to not have to open the iPhone 5C from one of the San Bernardino shooters. The FBI wanted Apple to unlock it and then create a permanent back door so that they wouldn't have this problem again. And one of the things that the FBI director said was that this is a one-time deal. We're not looking to make this permanent. This is all we want. And it was going back and forth in the courts. But before it could go back to court for a final decision, all of a sudden a company headquartered in Tel Aviv, Israel, called Cellebrite, stepped out of the woodwork and said, hey, we can unlock it for you. And they did. The FBI dropped their lawsuit, and supposedly they have unlocked the phone, not explaining how. But that seems to be what this company does, headquartered in Tel Aviv, as I said. They make a wide range of mobile data products used by the military, law enforcement, and corporate security under the name UFED, U-F-E-E-D. And, quote, enable the bit-for-bit extraction and in-depth decoding and analysis of data from thousands of mobile devices. One of their primary devices has been to bypass the pattern lock, passport, or PIN for Android phones, and now they are offering the widest support for Apple devices. So I have a question. Before the FBI went down this road with Apple corporate, they did not know that this company could do this. A lot of the people were asking, why are you bothering to sue Apple? We know that the NSA can do this. Why don't you go to them? Well, I don't know what the answer is, but I think we just watched a play. I think we just watched a performance, and it did not go well for Apple, because now, even though the FBI has said they had no interest of it going beyond just this one phone, days after dropping their lawsuit, they agreed to help an Arkansas prosecutor unlock an iPhone using their newfound solution. So why does this bother me? Does it bother me because I have an iPhone? No. What it bothers me for is it proves once and for all that there is no such thing as security, that the government could do anything it wants at any time, and if they can, so can the bad guys. And that's been the one fear, is that this will be leaked and it will get out there, and I'm pretty sure Apple is already working on some kind of a way to protect the newer phones. That 5C was an older phone. I don't know where this is going, but where it's going is the place that we've talked about, is to where there is no privacy, that the government can watch, listen, gather, intercept at will, and you won't have any rights to do anything about it. So I've come up with a new smart communication device. It's two tin cans with an incredibly long string that once cut can't be fixed and renders the communication device useless. I'm going to be putting it online and selling it pretty soon. I'm sure I'm going to do very well. But that's just one of the things that we've been dealing with in this world, and I don't think it's going to end anytime soon. So if you have a smartphone, smart tablet, smart TV, all the things that we call smart, wonder how smart they really are, because the fact is we gave up our privacy the minute we hooked up. Well, just going to keep going here. One of the things that has inspired the show tonight is all over the internet, and people have written me, asked me what I think about it. But according to various websites, on April 19th, replicas of, let me just back up. Replicas of the Baal Temple are supposed to go up in New York's Times Square and Trafalgar Square in London. Let me read what one of the websites, prophecynewswatch.com. I'm about to share with you some absolutely astounding information. It turns out that the exact day when reproductions of the arch that stood in front of the Temple Baal going to be erected in Times Square in New York City and in Trafalgar Square in London is the exact date when very important occult festival related to the worship of Baal begins. But is that what's happening? Now, if you haven't read about it, you can go online and go to all the prophecy sites. You can go to all the various places and check it out. And what you'll see is people will tell you that a temple to Baal is being rebuilt. But that's not true. That's not true at all. And I'm going to deal with this, and it may come off a little harsh, but this is my wheelhouse. This is a topic I know something about. But let's talk about what really is happening. What really is happening is a state-of-the-art 3D technology reproduction, 3D printing of a 2,000-year-old triumphal arch from the Palmyra site in Syria is what's being created. If you saw in the news March of last year, ISIS destroyed the temples of Baal, Baal Shamin, and the arch, which was built by the Romans separately from the temples. So, clearing one thing specifically, what they're building has nothing to do with the temples. What they're redoing are the arches that stood in front of the temple that are only 2,000 years old, which meant they were built well after Baal worship ended. So these reproductions are coming to Times Square that have nothing to do with the temple of Baal. But if you go to these prophecy sites, they've got you all up in arms. They've got you all freaked out. Oh, they're building these things and they're opening portals and who knows what's going to come through. And I probably strained muscles in my neck as I shook my head back and forth in complete disgust and surprise at the lack of research and information. The Romans built the arch in the 2nd century to celebrate a victory over the Persians, which is inscribed on the Grand Colonnade that is being recreated. It was built in 44 to 103 AD, and were not connected to the temple themselves. So what is the Temple of Baal? Let's deal with that. Well, the Temple of Baal was a religious building that had survived 2,000 years in that spot, and it was blown up. In the Aramaic, it's also Temple of Baal, ancient temple located in Palmyra, Syria, consecrated to the Mesopotamian god Baal, worshipped at Palmyra in triad with the lunar god and the sun god, and it formed the center of religious life dedicated in 32 AD. But if you read the various articles on the internet, it will tell you that it's about Moloch. It's about child sacrifices, and that's what this was representing. The worship of Moloch ended a very long time ago. That temple, the Temple of Baal, the one that was destroyed, was actually converted to a Christian church during the Byzantine era. Later on, it was modified by the Arabs in 1132 and converted into a mosque and was used as a mosque until 1920. Now, I will tell you, just as a matter of fact, that once the Syrian army recaptured Palmyra, the director of antiquities stated that the Temple of Baal, along with the Temple of Baal Shamin, and Baal Shamin is the Canaanite sky deity, who in the Greek is known as Zeus. Yes, that's who Baal Shamin is. In the Phoenician language, he's the Lord of Heaven, and in the Greek, he's known as Zeus. So there was a temple to Zeus there. The temple to Baal and the temple to Zeus is being rebuilt along with the arch. But none of these wonderful people who wrote about that told you that. I'd be more worried about the temple of Zeus, since Zeus worship has come back in demand and growing in Greece. And I believe, as do others, that once the pit is opened up, some of these former gods will be coming out and looking to be worshipped. But I'm getting ahead of myself here. So all of these alarming articles that the Temple of Baal in New York and London, but we now know that they're not recreating the temple, will, quote, open a portal to sinister forces. And the planets will be aligned in such a way during that time as to portend dark things. I really needed some music going on in the background. And this is going to come across a little harsh. I'm getting really tired of people who know nothing about gateways and portals, nor do they understand the supernatural ramifications or machinations of these portals, talking about them, writing blogs, making videos. They have never encountered them. They have never dealt with them. They've never been around them. They've never closed one of them. They've never, according to what I've read, have had revealed to them how they work. But yet they've got everybody up in arms that almost anything is a gateway. Almost anything can open a portal. And some of the information I've seen comes directly from movies, from really bad TV shows, from bad stuff on the Sci-Fi Channel, and people are presenting it as fact. Folks, let's get real. If the enemy could open a window or a portal anywhere it wanted to at any time, we would not stand a chance. And this reproduction that they're doing in New York and London aren't the original rocks. They aren't the original stones. They don't have any of the imprinting or natural recording that stone and wood and leather and metal do. So what is the big deal? Well, why don't we deal with this? The fact that the U.S. and the world is covered with buildings, statues, artifacts, mounds, monuments for hundreds of years, thousands of years, put there possibly by the fallen, possibly by their demonic offspring, the Nephilim. Over 50,000 sacred sites worldwide built on specific geographic locations known to be ley lines for the religious or spiritual purposes. If you want to worry about portals and gateways, it's too late. Stonehenge, Cleopatra's Needle, which I've talked about in the seminars and gone into great detail. There is an obelisk called Cleopatra's Needle. I've seen it. It's in Central Park. There's one in New York. There's one in Paris. There's one in London. And then there's the original one in Egypt. Problem is, the thing was built probably 1,000 years before Cleopatra. And the ones that are in London, Paris, and New York are the actual ones built by whoever built all four of them in Egypt way back when. You want to worry about something opening a portal? You want to worry about something that can do damage and give access to the fallen to this reality? What about those four obelisks? Hey, what about the Memphis Pyramid with the statue of Ramses the Great in it? Yeah, what about all these pyramids that are being built all over the United States to exact specifications of the ones that are in Egypt? Hey, you want portals? What about the pyramids at Giza? What about the Sphinx, which Doug Elwell was on here talking about? What about the Parthenon in Tennessee, built to exact specifications, including the 30-foot-tall statue of Athena, with Nike, the Greek goddess of victory, in her hand, and a shield depicting the war between the gods and the giants? Well, let's go to the Bicentennial Mall War Memorial in Nashville and look at it as a 3D rendering, and what you'll see is a 2,200-foot-long rod laid out on 19 acres in a masterstroke of synchronicity, patterned like the world axis, according to the New Age and Kabbalah, Mount Meru, the cosmic pillar or axis at the center of the world on which Buddha ascended. It's the model for the Tree of Life. It has deep connection to the Enki and the Anunnaki, which many of us believe are the Nephilim. But that's just in Nashville. Hey, let's go to Denver Airport. Let's go to the Denver Airport, where you have the statue of Anubis, the gargoyle, the red-eyed Mustang, the distinctive black color of Anubis had nothing to do with the jackal, but had to do with the color of rotting flesh and the black soil of the Nile, symbolizing rebirth. A statue of Anubis that's in other places, a statue of Anubis that traveled the United States and stayed in certain places, including New York Harbor, within sight of the Statue of Liberty. I hope they left the lights on at night, because if Anubis and Liberty got together, who knows what's going to come out. Or we could just travel to Washington, D.C. and look at the streets, the way they're laid out, and the buildings and the symbolism, the occult and Freemasonry symbolism. Or let's go to Los Angeles, California, and go to the Los Angeles Central Library, which is just filled from floor to ceiling with New Age and mystical and occult symbolism. Or St. John the Divine Cathedral in New York City, which I've been in a number of times in shooting TV shows and films, and I can tell you that the place, whether you are a believer or not, will make you uncomfortable. And when you see the carvings in the sides, oh, we can go to the Roslyn Chapel, which actually resonates and gives off a sound, which many believe were built by supernatural beings. But everybody's all worried about, but these, the Temple of Baal, and child sacrifices, and the blood's going to spill on those days because it will lead us to the May Day Beltane celebration. Over 3,000 babies were aborted today alone. You want to talk about temple sacrifices? We don't need to put up archways in Times Square or archways in Trafalgar Square. All we need to do is go to one of the abortion clinics around the United States. Right now, there are still 517 surgical abortion clinics and 213 medicated abortion clinics that are active at the lowest point. But there was a point where there were 1,793 abortion providers in 2008. You want to talk about the worship of Moloch? You want to talk about the worship of sacrificing babies on the altar of God? We've been doing it since Roe v. Wade. And here's a fact. The historical worship of Moloch reached its apex in Old Testament times. So why does this rile me up? Because it's all misdirection. And so many, some of you who even listen to this show, so many or being distracted by it. For almost 6 years, we have covered these topics here on Reflections in the Dark. For almost 6 years, we've gone into great detail about Moloch, about the technology of the fallen, about what was coming. And then I see posts on Facebook from people that say they listen, who are all gaga, some recent Perry Stone revelation about the fallen angels and their demonic offspring and how they actually did everything. And I yawned and went, "You're about 4 years too late on that information there, Perry." I mean, I'm a nobody, so I know not, you know, only a handful of people, hundreds, maybe, you know, maybe thousands, I don't believe thousands, but whatever, have read my book. I've been talking about this for 5 years and speaking in 4 years in print. So why is this a new revelation? Why are we falling all over ourselves when these guys regurgitate information that we know is not new and that they probably didn't get on their own? Because like Solomon said, there's nothing new under the sun. Whatever's been has already been done. So why don't we concentrate on what's important? Why don't we concentrate on the only thing we as believers were told to do? Go get people saved, healed, and delivered so that when these things come out of the pit and the world goes to hell in a handbasket, literally, they're not in the handbasket and they are not subject to those things. That's the only thing that's important. Whether they build a 3D replica of a 2,000-year-old Roman arch that stood in front of a demonic temple, big freaking deal. It's all smoke and mirrors. It's all symbolism. Now, it will have the effect of desensitizing people to the pagan, but they already are. Times Square, are you kidding me? The gods of vanity and depravity and sexuality and drunkenness and lasciviousness and, the seven sins are present right there. Big deal. Why are we so caught up in all of this foolishness when the truth is you can't do anything about it? Oh, you want to sign a petition to Mayor de Blasio to not build this thing? Like, he's going to listen to you. He's probably been given millions of dollars to put up this facade in Times Square, and he's not going to say no. But why would he? Because a couple of thousand fringe Christians say they're offended? Do you think they really care? You're wasting your time when you should be spending your time doing the only thing that's important. It's getting people saved, healed, and delivered. Introducing them to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords before he comes back. And I want to get into the whole rapture thing, but my theory is this. I believe the Lord said he would never leave us or forsake us, and I do believe that when those things get cast down from heaven and then come out of the pit, I don't believe the church will be here. Do I believe we're going to go through tribulation? Of course, we have been for 2,000 years. People are losing their head, losing their lives, shedding their blood. We have suffered tribulation, and it's only going to get worse. But the great tribulation, no, I do not believe that. I do not believe he would do that. But even if he did, and that's a very extreme consideration, what are you going to do about it? If you listen to some of these guys, I'm going to be locked and loaded. Really? Supernatural thing coming out of the pit, been there for 2,000 years, and you're locked and loaded? With what? Copper bullets. I read somewhere, copper. Copper hurts them. Copper going to take them down. Yeah, let me know how that works out for you. Don't bother letting me know. I don't want to know because it isn't going to work out. Only thing, the name and the blood of Yeshua, King of Kings, Lord and Lord, that's the only power that you got, power of the Holy Spirit inside of you and the spoken word, and it better resonate, and you better know it, and you better believe it. folks, we got to wake up. And I've been progressively losing audience numbers because I've gotten too harsh, and I don't care. I'd rather be harsh and have you awake and prepared, and then suddenly remember, oh, that's what Richard was talking about, than to tickle your ears and jack up the numbers and have you tell me, oh, brother, that was really great, that was real interesting. I don't want to be interesting. I mean, I don't want to be boring. But that's not my goal. My goal is here to inform you and to prepare you for what's coming. And then on Wednesday night, we tie it together with Scripture. And once I can come back full force and begin to do the seminars either online or travel as my life begins to regain order, then we can go into greater detail that I won't go on the air for a lot of reasons, mostly because I don't know who's listening and the enemy's going to have to work a little harder to get that information. Don't worry about these archways in Times Square and Trafalgar Square. They're not going to open a gateway or a portal. They're not going to. There will be no blood sacrifices. There will be no ritualistic temple sex, at least not near the archway. I mean, just go up and down the street, pick an address, you might find something. Before you start worrying about things, before you let these things get to you, before you let the information get into your head and agitate you, stop and pray and determine if the information is right. If the Holy Spirit's in you, He will confirm to you if what you are hearing is valid and important and you need to know. And the other part of that is, even if it is true, is it necessary? If you were in the middle of a life and death situation, and the only way to defend yourself was with a weapon, a gun, or a sword, if you have an aversion to gun, I'll use swords. And you say to me, I need a sword, and I hand you one of the many swords that are in this house that are hanging on walls or I've used in martial arts practices. Would you look at me and go, Richard, who made the sword? How many times was the metal folded? And is this carbon? Is this steel? Is this full tang? Or is it just visual replica? Would you do any of those things? Or would you just say, show me how to use it? If you were smart in a life and death situation, you would say, Richard, show me how to use it. And even if we didn't have time to, you'd be smart enough to cut and slash and swing. And that's really all you need to know. Stop worrying about things that have no value. Set your mind on things above. Seek the word of the Lord. Seek the confirmation of the Spirit and begin to concentrate on things that have value. Somebody asked me a question about the falling. Did I think they were going to do certain things or replace certain people before they came out? And here's what I think. The fallen don't need to do anything more than they've already been doing for all these years. You know why? Because it works. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. What they've been doing covertly through their human agents and human servants, what they've been doing through the use of their demonic offspring, works. The church has been mostly ineffective. Why would they need to change that? Why would they need to reveal themselves, as the frizzy-haired, funny-looking guy on Ancient Alien says, they're going to show up and they're going to reveal themselves to be our creators and their God, and, you know, they just burped us into existence, and that burp got enveloped by gas and got caught on a rock. What? Who cares? They have got mankind so fooled and so confused, and running around like chickens without a head, why would they have to change anything? I personally believe they're having too much fun and enjoying themselves and laughing the way they're doing it. I believe the only time it's going to actually shift is when the ones come out of the pit and the ones get cast down to earth from the heavenlies. Then the way they do things has to change. It's going to be a little harder to deceive mankind when 30-foot-tall beings or things that look like monsters or, you know, they look like hybrids out of Greek mythology suddenly show up. And even if they pull the alien good cop, bad cop, you know, the beautiful alien and the reptilian alien, even if they do that, they're not going to do it yet. They don't need to. They're going to do it exactly when they have to, and I believe that'll happen after the church is out of the way, when that which restrains them is out of the way, and they get out, and they know they have a short period of time. Now, if you plan on being here during that time, have at it. You better hope that you're not. You better hope that you're not. All these people that, well, we're riding it out to the end. We got choppers coming in. We got full tanks, man. Have at it. You do your thing. I'd rather be with the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, feasting at the table and hearing about this later on. Because those things that are coming out, these supernatural beings that are described in Revelation, the ones that got put in the pit on Mount Hermon for what they did with the daughters of Adam, the ones that got put in the pit because of the incursion on the earth and covered the earth, when all those things come out and they're corporeal and terrestrial and have the ability to do what they once did, when the fallen who are in the heavenlies are suddenly cast down to earth and are now terrestrial and corporeal, and were seriously ticked off, they're enraged, they're psychotic, mankind will not stand a chance. And that's why when the Antichrist offers them his protection based upon the mark, based upon worshiping him, they're going to say, where do I sign up? Until that time comes, it's going to play out just the way it's playing out now. Very covertly. You don't know who is and isn't one of them. Therefore, we have to go back to the Word. We have to go back to the discerning of spirits. We have to test all things by the Word. And you must be born again. And you must be Spirit-filled. Let them build their replicas. There are already, like I said, over 50,000 of these things worldwide, and more being discovered every day. Suddenly being found at the bottom of oceans. Suddenly being found in jungles. More and more being revealed. Being prepared for their coming out party. Let it happen. You're not going to stop it. But here's what you can do. If you want to read this stuff, if you want to take a look at all this stuff, if you want to do all this, then here's what you do. First of all, you make sure that you're born again. You make sure that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Then you make sure that you're filled with the Holy Spirit, with the gifts and the manifestation of those gifts. Because without the supernatural faith and everything that goes with the gifts of the Spirit, you're going to be just as deceived as the next person, which is why the Lord said, will there be any faith on the earth when he returns? Which is why we're warned over and over in Matthew 24, Luke 21, what the signs are so that we're not fooled. And yet, if he doesn't shorten the time, the elect is still going to be deceived. Concentrate on what you can handle. Deal with what you can control. And stop dealing with all this other stuff. We talk about it just so that you can know what's going on. But I always tie it back to, like I just did, to the Word, to salvation, to your walk. Because that's really all that's important. So I hope we got this whole Baal temple confusion, misdirection out of the way. Do your own homework if you don't believe me. Go back to March of last year and see what they actually destroyed. And then read the articles. When you read these articles that people post on these various prophecy websites, make sure you find the source. And if there's no source link in it, find a keyword, Google, and find their source. And that's when you'll find out that they have left certain things out and remolded the perspective to fit the website that they have. Do your own homework. Check things out for yourself. Stop being fooled. Because the point will come where you may not be able to reach out to somebody like me. The internet may but not be there. I may not be there. I don't know. You better be able to do this for yourself. Well, we're going to end early tonight because I'm done. Joe had some home stuff to deal with, unfortunately, and he was going to try to be here. But once we got rolling, I just sent him a text message that not to fret it, deal with what you got to deal with. Sometimes life gets in the way. Boy, do I understand that. Remember, we're here Sunday nights to talk about stuff like this. But it always ties back to what we talk about on Wednesday nights on the porch. If you're really serious about your spirituality, if you're really serious about doing something with this information, then that's where you should be. Wednesday night, 7 o'clock, the porch, where we talk about the Word, where we talk about the things of the Spirit from a biblical perspective, from a scriptural perspective, using Scripture. Trying to do our best, as the Book of Acts Church did, to shake the world one last time before the return of the King. Apple, sorry you lost your war with FBI, but you knew you were going to lose. You knew that this was all, you know, a losing proposition. I know Google's trying to do the same thing. BlackBerry, they're going to be out of business. So you had your moment in the sun. We're all heading in one direction, and that one direction is we're being funneled to the end. And my hope is not here. My hope is not in the judicial system. My hope is not in the political system. My hope is in the Lord. That's the only place I have hope. My hope is in the Lord. Well, I hope we got that dealt with. If you have questions or you have something to say, even if I don't like it, go to supernaturalresponse.net or firefalltalkradio.com and use the contact button if you want to support this to keep us going. Because I'm serious when I say that once I'm free to travel again, I would sincerely like to be able to explain some of the things I just did to you standing in front of Cleopatra's Needle in Central Park, or standing in front of one of these things, and even possibly letting the team investigate to prove, are there any spirits around, are there any things that we're not seeing or hearing that tie into what we're saying? Because to be able to tie the natural with the supernatural from the perspective that I believe only we can, would begin to reveal to you and to the world what's actually going on all around us. If you want to support that, go to firefalltalkradio.com, supernaturalresponse.net. There's ways to do it. If you have the ability to raise money and you'd like to talk to us about it, we'll listen. But we'll also be doing the whole references and verification and doing all that. We've had a lot of people along the way because I want to come help you. And then when you ask for resumes and bios and references, they stop responding. And I used to think it was because they got offended, but then I realized they knew once we looked at those things, we probably weren't going to be doing business anyway. But the time's coming, and I believe this is it. As we wind down for 2016, keep it in prayer. Hopefully you'll be back here next week. Hopefully I didn't drive more of you off. If you want to hear the truth, I'm your guy. If you want your ears tickled, not so much. So on behalf of Joe, who couldn't be here, SRT, this has been Reflections in the Dark on Firefall Talk Radio.